Well, welcome to the Worship and Children's Ministry Workshop. Again, my name's Chris. I oversee the Children's Ministry and the Special Needs Ministry here. And one of the privileges that I have is leading worship for the kids. Personally, I started doing that when I was 16 years old. I was newly saved, on fire for the Lord, and I wanted to be able to just go up to my room and worship the Lord without the help of anyone else, and to use an instrument to do it. So I taught myself guitar, and I picked a lot of people's brains here, and just kind of learned how to play, and then got plugged in children's ministry, going around. They used to go around room to room. All of the grades were separated, and there was this big worship leader music room that just was at the heart in the middle hallway, and people would come with like violins and guitars and all kinds of things, and then they would just go out to all the different classrooms, and it was like traveling worship leaders. And so that is where I went, and my gifts were sharpened. I got to lead with people who were doing it, and you know, we had the transparent things with the projector with the light, and you would put the words up and swap them out, and then the words would fall off, and it was all just a mess, and it was great. And that was the context that I grew up doing worship in. And then the Lord just kind of, you know, the people who I was leading with stopped serving, so I started leading, and then other opportunities arose in leading worship in junior high and senior high, young adults, different ministries. And so as I lead worship, I by no means am a skilled musician whatsoever. I know very little music theory. When it comes to musicality and instrumentality and even vocals, like I'm little help to you guys. But when it comes to a heart of worship, there is much that the Lord would teach us, and there is much that we can teach our children, whether we have skills on an instrument or a good voice or not. And so I don't know what you expected coming to this workshop. It's not a workshop on how to learn guitar, play G, C, D, and E minor. It's a workshop on how to lead children in worship with or without a guitar, so we're going to get into it. But, we're going to look at the heart, what worship is, who do we worship, those things, and then specifically look into a ministry context. What does that look like in children's ministry? And then get practical and do it. And I'm just going to show you an example to you kind of what I do with the kids, whether they're 2 years old or in fifth grade. So hopefully from all of that, you find something that is useful and sharpening and equipping for you and for your fellowship. But a testimony from one of my volunteers who is serving. It feels very long ago, but I remember Mr. Bill leading us in songs that taught us Bible stories and Bible truths. Those songs are still sung to many of our four-year-olds today, and the lyrics come right back to me. I know that God's truth was hidden in my heart through those songs, and I know it was never tedious to sit through the worship time. Mr. Bill made the songs so much fun. Worship matters to children. Worship matters to the Lord, but worship has an impact on kids. Music is powerful. Music is powerful. Satan knows that. Think about the just trends in music and the strength of music in our culture, with how it can move emotion and just cause movements and stir the soul. It's one of the things that we have on earth that we will still get to enjoy in heaven, only better. And so we have this gift of music and of song, and that is the Lord's. That's the Lord's gift to us. So we're going to redeem it, and we're going to use it for His glory, and we're going to point back to the giver of the gift. So, how do you gauge the health of worship in your children's ministry? Is it healthy? Do you enjoy it? How many worship leaders do I have in the room? Anyone who leads worship? Okay, awesome. God bless you. And how many other people, where maybe you don't lead, but you assist in leading worship? Anyone? Any assistants leading? How many of you? Okay, great. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure. At the end of the workshop, you'll all raise your hand for that one. And we're just going to get into it. You know, is the worship in your children's ministry healthy? How do you gauge that? Do you enjoy the worship in your children's ministry? Are you happy where things are at? Lord willing, we can look at these things together and come away with some practical things we can do to better serve the Lord through how we lead kids in worship. Because we are all worship leaders. Please hear me when I say that. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, And there are so many things that we can do to hinder kids from coming to the Lord by how we worship or how we fail to worship. And so what is worship? The word for worship actually comes from worth-ship. It comes from the Lord's worth. God is worthy. Worship is our response to who He is and what He has done. An easy way to explain worship to kids is worship is singing prayers and praises to God as the people of God. We're singing prayers. It's something that we get to do together. We all get to sing the same thing to the Lord together, pray it together, praise it together. And so I wrote down here, worship is a relational and reverential response to who God is and what He has done. Worship is relational. It is something that is done to the Lord in response to Him. The Lord is there in our midst receiving the worship, and it's relational in the sense that we get to do it together with one another for the Lord, unto the Lord, and it's reverential. Worship should be reverential. In children's ministry, so often it's not. And so we want to be careful that we have the same standards for our worship in children's ministry that we do for the adults. Worship is what we were made to do. We all worship. Now, we may misplace our worship, right? But we're all worshipers, people who are saved and people who are unsaved, kids who are saved and kids who are unsaved. And you can tell by looking at a lot of people what they worship. You worship your sports team. You worship politics. You worship food. You worship lust. You worship money. You worship whatever it is, right? And so people... ultimately, if you're not worshiping the Lord, you're worshiping yourself in some way. That is the ultimate pride. But we are all worshipers. We were all made to worship. So worship is important because we serve what we worship. Worship and service go together in the Bible. Our children are worshipers too. They have an eternal destiny, either heaven or hell. So let's steward that well. Do we let little children come to Christ through the worship that takes place in children's ministry? You know, none of the things I'm going to say are an accusation, so please don't hear it like that. But broadly speaking, many of the Christians today assume that we can assume we value children. But how that works out practically is quite different. And so we can even think to ourselves, no, I value children. But in practice, we often treat the children like the disciples did. No, don't come to Jesus. He doesn't have time for you. And so when we make worship shallow, when we make worship entertainment, when we hand worship off to a screen, then those are things that we are saying we value kids, but have we considered and thought through what the fruit of the things that we do in worship in children's ministry actually is? Is it preparing them to sit with the congregation and worship as a junior high or a senior high or as an adult? Do they see real examples of worship? Is the worship so shallow that the adults who are volunteering can't even enter into the worship? And so we need to think through these things. We don't want to be stumbling through our worship. Worship is more than a song. It's service. And then you go from your song to worshiping in the Word. And then you go from the Word to worshiping in fellowship and discipleship. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. It's worship. And kids need to know that they can worship the Lord as they do their math homework. That the way that they clean their room can be worshipful. Worship and service go together. So, you know, that's just like a little side branch there. But I let them know all the time. Like, man, I remember when I was in high school, the moment that I realized I could do algebra for the glory of God, I was like, made homework night and day difference. I was like, wow, math works because God's a mathematician and He made it. This is amazing. So you just help the kids worship. It's more than just a song. One of the ways we get to enjoy the presence of God is through worship. These verses blow my mind. The God of the universe, in a special and a unique way, yes, He is everywhere, but where His people are gathered in His name, He is there in the midst. And as they sing His praises in worship, He inhabits the praises of His people. What does that even mean? For the God of the universe to be present in the sanctuary as we are pouring out our hearts in praise to Him, He is present. He is there. And so acknowledging that, we want that worship to be in a way that is worthy unto Him as He is there receiving it. And God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22:3, come before his presence with singing. Psalm 100, verse 2, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Again, Psalm 100. And so, you know, worship is we've been commanded to worship. It's a response to the word of God dwelling in our hearts richly. And God is present when we worship. If we do not lead the kids in song, in worship, they are missing out on a unique aspect of experiencing the presence of the Lord in our children's ministry. You don't want that to happen in the sanctuary. We're going to skip the songs today. We're just going to get right into the word. You're like, man, how healing is that for us to just worship? There's this person over here who's newly widowed. Here's this single mom over here who's just trying to keep her nose above water. Here's this person over here who just lost his job, and we're all worshiping with God, praising him with abandon. It is healing and helpful for us, and prepares us to receive what God wants to say to us in the word. It's preparatory. Something that we do together. What worship isn't? You all know this, but we're going to go over it anyway for the people listening to the recording. Worship isn't entertainment. It's not a concert. I'm not going to say it. Worship should be fun and enjoyable, but it should also be reverent. No mosh pits in children's ministry, okay? They're like, all right, just turn up that electric guitar and rip some chords out and then your worship leader's getting ready to crowd surf, and little Jim, he jumped out, and all the kids were like, little Jimmy broke his arm. What happened to Jimmy? I don't know. The worship leader tried to surf the crowd. They're like, what is happening in children's ministry? What is going on? All the kids are smashing into each other. We love worship. No, that's not worship. Sometimes worship can feel like that. They're like, is this a mosh pit? What is going on? What is happening with worship in children's ministry? It's not a concert. It's not a time to disengage while we watch a performance. Are your kids disengaged during worship time? Are you disengaged during worship time? Man, I love it that you guys sang. I was telling my wife last night, they sang. I hear the sanctuary. You guys, just, you're the choir. You're the worshipers, man. And to hear your voices pour out in praise to the Lord is just a blessing. Sometimes you worship with the two-year-olds, and it's just you worshiping the Lord, and they're staring at you. And you're like, Lord, I'm doing this for you and for them, and so that they can see and experience what it looks like to worship, at least. But that's a lonely time. It's a lonely time. So I'm thankful for you guys. It's not just a time filler. All right, we have an hour with the kids, so that's a long time with a child. Let's do 15 minutes of worship. No, that's not why. We do it because it's commanded and because God is worthy. It's not a time filler, so we're not going to treat it like something less than. So we're not going to use it as a time to talk and a time to set up our crafts. We're not going to use it as a time to speak with the other volunteers in the room while the kids are worshiping. That's not what's taking place. It's not a time to find our seat. It's not something that lets you know it's time to finish your conversation. It's not transitional. You know, unfortunately, here at Calvary Philly, I'm sure not at your church, but here at Calvary Philly, people leave the last song. That is their time to get in the car and get out of the parking lot before it gets too busy. The word just dropped. God just fed their souls powerfully through his word. And the worship starts and is like, all right, let me get out of here. Enter into it. Let's not treat worship like it's cheap. Worship is not just for the kids. The sanctuary isn't where the adults worship. And the children's ministry isn't where the children worship. Worship is for everyone, everywhere, always. And I love it when kids and adults get to worship together. So special. Maybe you do that in your church. We don't here because we wouldn't fit in the sanctuary and it would get messy. But we do intentionally throughout the year have, at our prayer service, a family worship night where we invite all the kids to come out. They join us. We worship together, pray together. They get to see adults pour out their heart and worship to the Lord. There's nothing more instructional and helpful for a child than to see an adult, to see their mom or their dad or their grandmom or the volunteer who serves them pouring out their heart and praise to God. What that does for a child. They need to be able to see that. To see adults worshiping. And unfortunately, especially if we have children's ministry and adult ministry separate, kids don't get to experience adult worship. And that, we need to make up for that. That's a weakness. Who do we worship? I ask this to the kids all the time. Who are we here to worship? God, Jesus. Yeah, that's right. You? No. Me? No. Jesus. Yes, that's right. We're here to worship God. Let's be clear about that. There's a lot of people in the world who worship a lot of different things. We worship the Lord. It's not me. It's not you. If worship is a response to who God is, then we want to make much of the Lord to the kids. We're going to keep our attention on Him, and we're going to help one another to keep our attention on Him. Hey, and I tell the kids if I'm leading worship, hey, focus on me. So it's not about me, but focus on me so I can help you focus on Jesus, right? That's why kids need a worship leader, to help them focus their worship to the throne room of God. Worship starts with knowing who God is. Do your kids know God's worth? Do they know His bigness, His vastness? Are they in awe and wonder of Him? Do you foster that inside of them? Maybe our songs don't need more energy. Maybe they need deeper truth and bigger promises and wonder and reverence of God. Psalm 24:8 says, "Who is the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle?" Jeremiah 32 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." Psalm 147 says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite." Revelation says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." If your kids in your ministry have a small view of God, then their worship will be small. That's true of us too, isn't it? Our worship and how genuine and sincere it is will be reflected of our understanding of God. And so pray that the Lord would enlarge our own hearts to appreciate the Lord's greatness, that His greatness is unsearchable, yet He comes to me and loves me personally, individually. We get to show the kids how big God is through our example. We get to show the kids how big God is through our song choice, through the way that we, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do." I am going to drill that into the kids' minds. We need to give them big truths about our big God so their worship can be big. And kids are so because they're just sincere. Remember, there are things that would hinder us from worshiping the Lord with abandon that don't hinder them because the world hasn't messed them up yet. And they, when they come to Christ, they are just sincere. And no one worships the Lord with greater sincerity than a little child. You think that you need to be ruined and chewed up and spat out by the world before you can worship the Lord with all your heart? Think again. Watch a kid worship. And I watch a four-year-old close her eyes and raise her hands. And a fourth grader not look at anyone else in the room, but just raise her hands and worship. And these kids can enter in if you lead them. They can. And they will. And so let's make sure that we give them the opportunity to do that. All right, worship and children's ministry, song choice. Nothing is more annoying is the word, a thankless labor. I hate finding new songs for children. I do. I hate it. There are just so many songs, so many people, and because people have low standards for kids, they just make shallow music and make it fun and energetic. And I listen to them and I can only take so much. And it is torturous. And so if there's an event like VBS coming up or, you know, something where I am wanting, all right, let's see if there's, man, is there anything new that I can, and I listen to hours of horrible music. And I'm like, oh, let's stick with Jesus Loves Me. I don't know what to do. You know, this past year, Phil Wickham gave me Awesome God, and Forrest Frank gave me Your Way's Better. So I took those, and I ran with them. And, you know, there are things that can connect themselves to some of these kind of newer, trendy songs so that you want to make sure, again, that you lead them. But, man, talking about Jehovah Jireh, how the Lord's way, hey, there's a way that seems right to us, but at the end of that way is death. God's way is so much better, so much higher. His ways are better. We don't understand them. And so you just find songs that are dripping with truth in the Bible. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. But it's a biblical. Be intentional with your song choice. Don't let Spotify choose for you. Is it biblical? Is it doctrinally sound? Is it scripturally rooted? Does it prepare the kids' hearts for the lesson that they will be learning? I personally, as I lead worship, I think what is the passage of scripture that we will be studying? What is the big truth? And those things are accessible to anyone. Lessons get set out to our volunteers every Monday so that they're ready for it the next Sunday. And do they look at it? Do they allow that to kind of, they pray through the passage of scripture? Will it prepare the kids' hearts for the Bible lesson that they're going to be learning? And of course, it's great to sing the Bible. You can't go wrong there. I'm sure there's some verses that you don't want to sing, but we have a songbook. The Psalms are beautiful. And you have organizations like Seeds Family Worship or these other things. And again, the way that they do things, well, let me just continue on. And some of their stuff's great and some of it's not. But it's all Bible, and the Bible's great. But just because a song is the Bible doesn't mean you should bring it into your children's ministry. Is the focus on the Lord or the singer when you're choosing a song? Is it rooted in my emotion or in the eternal and unshakable truths and promises found in God's word? Because I can come sing about my emotion, and there are a lot of modern day Christian songs that sound very much like whatever pop song and whatever, you know, love relationship someone is in, only we're directing it to the Lord. And that is not what you read when you go through the Psalms. You read about the Lord's attributes, his great attributes, his greatness, how big he is, the things that he has done. I can come in any given Sunday and I can sing about my emotions, and what I'm singing might not even be true at all. I might not be loving the Lord with all my heart when I come. I might be broken and chewed up by the world that week, and I'm hanging on by a thread, and now I have to come sing about how, you know, the Lord, my love for the Lord is just everything to me or whatever. But when I come and I sing things that are true about God, I can always worship the Lord in spirit and truth when it's about the Lord, because my emotions go up and down and are all over the place. There's no anchor there, but there is an anchor in the Lord. And there's an anchor in scripture. So let's keep our stuff anchored in the Lord. Our worship should be about God's glory, his mercy, his greatness, his love, his goodness. We worship him in spirit and in truth, John 4 says. We can't always be truthful about how we feel, but we can be truthful about who God is and what he's done. The songs that you choose should be singable. Is it an easy melody, or is it just all over the map? Is the range okay? My K lovers out there. Most of the radio versions of songs that come out are not in a singable key for the congregation. You want your songs to be singable. Is the range okay? What I mean by that is, here at Calvary Philly, we pretty much try not to get anyone singing above a middle C. D, maybe, if they're warmed up, but not above middle C. It needs to be a comfortable range, not just for the kids, but for your volunteers, so that your volunteers can enter into it without jumping into falsetto and then back down to bass and then all over the place. You know, again, Phil Wickham, like, I mean, God bless the guy. That dude's got some range. He has high highs, and he just is all over the place. I can't do it. And so sometimes you'll hear us, you know, we'll drop a song down half step, and we'll change the keys and we'll transpose to make things more singable by the kind. If they can't sing, then you're not leading them in worship. Is it playable for anyone who might be, you know, on guitar, on an instrument, on a keyboard, whatever? Is it age appropriate? We'll talk about that in a minute. Pray over the songs that you choose, over your time of worship. That's spiritual. Invite God into the process. Depend on the Lord, not your own talent or ability. Does the song magnify the Lord? Prepare for the worship in the Word. Does the song wind the kids up? Is it boring to them? You want to be assessing how your kids are responding to the songs that you choose. And if you need to cut some out, cut some out. Or lead them into the truth that the song is proclaiming. Song order. Again, this is going to come more into like leading worship, but even if you do it on a screen or on a CD, like, how do you choose the order of your songs? Well, start high energy, start there. And then, you know, pull back before prayer time or before Bible time. Do not start slow and then wind them up. And they're jumping up and down, pumping their fist into the air. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. And then they all go out and they're dancing and they're high-fiving, and no one is going to sit for the Bible time, guarantee you, because they are just amped. Like, they're like, that was the best thing ever. Let's keep going. And they're singing in their classroom and they're just, you know, climbing the walls and throwing chairs and all kinds of things. Because you just gave them that vibe, and maybe it was worshipful, but it was also high energy, and they're bringing that back, and the teachers are like, what did you do to me? What did you release upon me? These animals, this is a zoo. Song choice matters. Calm them down before you pray. Turn them down. Kids vibe off the room. They will take what you feed them and do as you do. I think I said this. Sing scripture. Know where the song flows from. Bless the Lord, O my soul. 10,000 reasons. Psalm 103. We're going to sing Psalm 103. You can read these words right in your Bible. We sing Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. Where do the truths that you're singing come from? It's helpful to know in your mind where in the Bible the song comes from. And if you are looking at your song and you can't figure out where in the world this writer of the song got this in the Bible, then don't sing it. Because you need to be able to point the kids back to scripture. We want to sing things that are true. His word doesn't return void. It's a way to get God's word into kids' hearts. Sing scripture. Know where it's from. Tell the kids. Read the verse to them before you sing the song. Again, Seeds Family Worship is great. Don't always sing what's popular or new. I kind of already mentioned this a little bit. You're like, all right, what songs are new? I'm going to ChatGPT. What are the most popular Christian kids songs of 2025? All right, there they are. And there might be some good ones on there or not good ones. Personally, I don't listen to Caleb. I don't listen to much music anymore. I listen to a lot of podcasts and things like that. But, you know, I'm not letting someone else dictate to me my song choice. I am going to let the Lord lead that. And I am not going to follow whatever trend, even in Christian culture, because there are tares that grow up with the wheat. And worship is a very easy way to mislead people into having a really emotional experience, and they think they're worshiping, but the reality is it's shallow, and they're not really saying anything about the Lord. They're just singing about how they feel towards the Lord. And so don't just sing whatever is popular. Go through these things and pray about your song choice. You know, I think along those lines, if I sing this song by this artist, what other songs does that artist have? Is it going to bring them back to the full album where they are singing things that are completely untrue about the Lord or that don't glorify the Lord? What is the character of this artist? What kind of things what reputation do they have? I am very thankful for Forrest Frank. I think he's a super humble dude. I think he came out of nowhere because the Lord said, I can bless you because you're going to handle it well. I'm going to trust you with this and steward these young kids' hearts as they just come to you. And he very much is just always pointing people back to Jesus. And I appreciate him for that. He's not perfect. He has his faults. We all do. But we want to encourage kids to just worship the Lord for who he is and not get caught up in some, like, celebrity thing. And so just be careful. I think I'm talking about this more than I wanted to. Okay, here we go. Introducing new songs. Introduce them one at a time. Hey, and today we're going to sing all new songs. Don't do it. Don't do it. Start with one verse. Start with just the chorus and the bridge. Repeat it a couple times. Say the lyrics to them before you sing it. Help them enter into worship. You're not performing, so if you're introducing a new song, help them. All right, now you heard me sing it. Now we're all going to sing it together. And as they learn it, they'll enter in. And have it in the middle of your set so that they can begin strong with something that they know and end with something that they know. It's really important to think through these things. So when introduce a new song, I tell them, I say, hey, you may not know this song, but think about the words I'm singing and then try to sing along with me. Okay, are we good so far? All right. Worship in children's ministry. Let's get down to the ages. Surely there's not worship in nursery. What could they possibly do other than scream and have dirty diapers? Well, they can. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. I think that's awesome. And so we have worship music playing in our nursery. And so beautiful. I encourage my nursery workers to sing truth over their kids, to worship over them. There was one of my volunteers the other night, on Wednesday night, holding a baby and just singing Be Thou My Vision over. And to familiarize even infants with the sounds and the songs of praise of the Lord's house, familiarize them with worship, even from baby age, have worship music playing. Toddlers, we have worship leaders come to the room for toddlers, twos and threes, no joke. Use tape on the floors to mark out a separate worship area for transitions, box them in, use carpet squares, do something so that they're not just bouncing all over the place. Give them worship its own space if you can, if you don't go to a room. Your set's going to be shorter, maybe 5-10 minutes. You can only do B-I-B-L-E for so long. The songs written for toddler age are much shorter in length, and so you don't need to do 20 of them, but choose 4 or 5 and do them for 5 or 10 minutes and help them with that. Be enthusiastic. Be joyful. Be interactive with the kids. This is what you have a worship leader for, to help them do this. And again, we're all worship leaders in a sense, so we want to vibe, have a worship leader we can vibe off of so that we can be smiley and engaging and looking at the kids and re-getting their attention, helping them focus on the Lord even as a toddler. So repetition is good for this age. Better to have 10 songs that you repeat than 20 songs that the kids just never get down, because there's always a different song and there's not much consistency there. repeat phrases to teach truth. Again, even for the toddlers, who are we here to worship? And eventually one of them will know God, right? And they might not know what that means, but they're getting the answer right, and that's getting in their heart. God made you. God loves you. Things that we say to our kids. God is so big. How big is God? Is he this big? No. Is he this big? Is he bigger than an elephant? Is he bigger than this room? Is he bigger than the whole world? Is he bigger than your dad? Yes. Yes, he's the biggest. He's got the whole world in his hands. He has big hands. He can hold you. He'll never let you go. He's always with you. Have someone lead motions. Listen, I guarantee you there's going to be some motions in heaven, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, my people who are like, no, I don't do the motions are not for me. I'm not a motionser. Yes, you are. And if you're in children's ministry, you are very much a motionser. You do the motions with all the enthusiasm as if Jesus was right there standing next to you, doing the motions along with you. And so, I know all of our needs are different, but... For B-I-B-L-E, I mean, move something. Stand on the Word of God. And then let the kids know that doesn't mean we're standing on our Bibles. Whatever happens in the toddlers, just keep going. Don't stop every time a kid's distracted or a kid goes over to the toys or a kid starts picking their nose or poking another child in the eye. That's what other volunteers in the room are for. Like, they should address that, but not whoever's leading worship. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. And end in prayer. And so for the toddlers, I say, all right. I usually end with Jesus loves me, chill them out, calm them down, and then I say, all right, hands up, reach higher, 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 and give me a big clap, boom, put them in your lap, eyes closed, heads bowed. God, thank you so much for each one of these boys and girls, Lord. Get right into it. Pray for 10 seconds, boom, done. They go into their Bible lesson. 4-year-olds through second grade, we keep this age group together for worship. We use tape or string to mark out the worship area again. Longer songs, a little more lyrics for this age group. Worship time is 15 to 20 minutes. Have lyrics on display if you can. This could be on a projector. This could be old school transparent papers with a projector. This could be a booklet. This could be any number of things. But have the words available. Why is that important? Because the kids who can read will read the words, even if they're not singing them. And it's important for them to read the truth that we're giving them. And the volunteers, if they don't know the words, they will then have them so that I can tell you, hey, you have no excuse. I put the words up there for you. You better sing with all your heart. Don't tell me you don't know these kids' songs. All right. And if you don't have lyrics displayed, some of our services we don't. First service, I'm in here. I don't have anyone for PowerPoint. Then I try to choose songs with enough breathing room to state the lyrics before I sing them. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love the way you, right? And then you just, Lord, I, and you go into it. And so some rooms offer a little more space for you to speak the lyric so that they can follow you before you actually sing the lyric. Goodness of God, another one, nice and spacey. You can speak it. Or you can just take a long pause before a verse or the chorus to verbalize what the lyrics will be. Still do motions for this age group. Kids thrive off motions. I usually try to recruit a second grader or two to help me out, the older kids. And you have to do that carefully because some kids just are up there doing interpretive dancing and they don't know what the real motions are. And then some kids just love the spotlight, and then everyone loves the spotlight. And you thought you were worshiping the kids with the kids in front of you, and suddenly there's a chorus behind you, and all the kids are up there doing the motions. And so you do have to tell kids, nope, just going to be Ashley and Finn today, and then, you know, you just have those two, and you that's why you're there to lead them. But if you don't have someone leading motions, that makes it really difficult for the kids to enter in. And if the kids aren't doing motions, I don't know if you've noticed, but kids are high energy. They need to move. And so we want to allow them to move. We don't tell them to sit there crisscross applesauce and reverently worship the Lord with their eyes closed and their heads bowed. That is not what we do in children's ministry. We get them to move and jump and pump their fists into the air and turn around and sit down and stand up and do all those things. So for songs that you don't have motions for, find some creative people to get motions, and then once you have motions, lead them in the motions, but in a controlled kind of way that is reverential and not showcasing. Do elaborate on lyrics for this age group. Help kids grow in their sense of awe and wonder of God. Explain words or ideas. I do strong foundation with the kids in this age group. What does it mean that God is faithful? Who can tell me what faithful means? Yeah, faithful just means that God does what he says he'll do. He never lies. He always keeps his promises. Everything that we read, we can count on him. So think of any words in the song that you can emphasize or talk about or help them understand so that they can enter more fully into the ideas that they may not understand. You know, 10,000 reasons. What are some reasons that we can bless the Lord? And then just have them go through. Have them state. Goodness of God. In what ways is God good to you? How has God shown his goodness? And have them list some of the reasons. If they can't come up, then you list some of them. Be ready. All right. 3rd through 5th grade. I have 3rd through 5th grade together in here. If 3rd through 5th grade is combined with a younger age group, I still do motions. If it's just 3rd through 5th grade, then I don't. Different song choice. I have a list of about 60 to 70 songs that my worship leaders in this age group can choose from. And then they usually just, if they're trying to bring something in, they ask me. We take songs from the sanctuary. So I try not to go outside of what the worship leader and the senior pastor have chosen to be sung in the sanctuary. And then we encourage people just to pray about their song choice, know what the kids are going to be studying. Don't do motions. Be more intentional in how you engage them. Pray with them. If kids aren't singing, stop. Speak about the glory and the wonder of God. Let the songs build on each other. The truth, is there a theme that kind of flows? Talk about the bigness of God. Other things to think about in worship. Are there sensory needs? Do the lights need to be dimmed a little bit? Do you need to have some noise-canceling headphones on hand? Some fidgets, maybe, for kids who might struggle? Do we have instruments for kids? In our young special needs room, we do. We do have instruments for kids. Sometimes that can get too much, though, so you don't want it to become distracting. How will worship be led? Will it be led through a CD, through a screen, through a leader? Worship is its own time. It's not an optional part of free time, so make it its own thing, and then choose from a set of pre-selected songs, and then you can share that set with the parents, so the parents can be playing those songs for the kids at home, so when the kids come, they are ready to engage and jump into the songs because they've been listening to them all week. It's good. Partner with parents. There's a workshop on that later. Have times of worship with the whole church, like I talked about. Good for kids and adults to get together. Okay, I am going to just light speed here. Hang with me. Buckle up. Put a helmet on. You might get hurt. Leading worship in children's ministry. A worship leader is someone who helps lead us into the presence of God in song. They also keep things from happening that would hinder us from singing or to coming into God's presence. So a good worship leader scans the room. Now, this is both a gifting and a learned skill. But just like when we're teaching, we don't want to just look in one place or look down at our notes or look. We want to be scanning. And so as a leader, you're on the lookout for things that would disengage the kids. Are the kids disengaged? Are the volunteers disengaged? Guide and control the room without interrupting worship. Again, that comes with time. And so I can be singing praise to the Lord and worshiping him, and I can stare at a kid and say, you know, as I'm singing, and he goes from punching his friend next to him to, you know, I'm sorry. Or, you know, I can stare at someone, and then my volunteers see me staring, and they look at what I'm staring at, and then they go over and they realize there's something that needs to be addressed. Or, you know, between songs, I might just say, right, second grade, if second grade is distracted, and then go into the chorus. And they're like, wait, that was us, right? Yes, praise the Lord. Go back into it. If a kid's really disruptive and none of my volunteers have done anything, and again, have name tags, I will say his name real quick. And none of the other kids know who I was talking about. I don't stop everything and say, Luke, how dare you? This is the time to honor the Lord. We are here to worship him. What do you think you're doing? You should be ashamed of yourself. Go stand in the corner. Everyone look at him while he stands. No, we don't do that. We want to do it in a way that doesn't shame them, but does draw their attention back. Guide and control the room without interrupting worship. If a child is being disruptive, could use some redirection. You can smoothly include their name between verses. Focus and just look at them, shake your head if they're struggling, try to get the attention of the volunteer, have little signals or things that you do. This is a gift. It's a learned skill. It takes time. Worship is relational, so that's why you need to have a person leading worship. It's something that we do together. This allows you to take requests from kids, too. Sometimes a kid says, hey, can we sing this song? And sometimes they'll say, no, not today, but ask me again later. And sometimes they'll say, yeah, sure, absolutely. And then they feel like they played a part in the worship that's taking place, and that's special. And so, take requests sometimes. And then there's a lot of songs that I'll never play, and the kids ask me again and again. And I say, no, I'm not going to sing Big, Big House. How do you even know that song? Big, Big Yard, we can play football. Not doing it. That was when I was a kid, man. Worship is spiritual. Leading worship is discipleship. Leading worship is a service. Service to the Lord and to the body of Christ. It takes humility to lead worship in children's ministry. It takes a lot of humility to be in children's ministry and do those motions. You feel like a fool. You feel like an idiot. You're like, I can't believe if the people at my job saw what I'm doing right now, I would be a laughingstock. No, but it's humility. It is being childlike in sincerity. We're not childish. And so we want to enter in with the kids. It's more than just musical ability. Having worship leaders engages and utilizes the giftings of the whole body of Christ. If you have worship leaders, then that allows people who the Lord is gifting for that service to step into that service. If in children's ministry you only have screens, then you're never, it's just not known that a kid could say, I want to learn guitar and get plugged into children's ministry into the 2 and 3 year old room and start leading worship with the 2 songs he knows and start them there. And children's ministry is a great place to develop worship leaders. We need to allow for that service. Are we providing people as space for people in our church to use and develop their giftings? I was 16 when I started. It was not good. A lot of times it's still not good. And I'm like, Lord, I'm a work in progress. Use me. How worship is led should never distract from the attention we are giving the Lord. We can also be so bad that it's distracting. Right? Not everyone should be a worship leader. I'm going to come lead worship on the recorder. No, you're not. Not in my children's ministry. Harmonicas, no. We can also be so good that it's distracting. That's not my struggle. That's not many of us. That is a special group. But I'm just going to include it for the people, all of you, I'm sure. A leader needs to keep worship worshipful. It's reverent. And so I don't let the kids scream. Do you love your Jesus deep down in your heart? Yes, I love him. Whoa, hey, oh, remember my rule. What's my rule? No screaming. Yeah, let's just shout. Let's keep it worshipful in here. Right? And then we get right back to it. Keep control of the room. If they are unhinged, bring them back. Lead by example. We don't scream. Shut down behavior that is not worshipful. Disciple them. That's what discipleship is. Oh, man. All right. If we're going to use videos, have a person lead with the video, please, to help engage the kids in a way that we are still allowing the kids to come to Christ, not hindering them. A little note about why live worship matters. Why does live anything matter for the church? Would we settle for a worship video in the sanctuary with the adults? Are the kids less important? Are they less able to enter into the Lord's presence? Many Christians, again, today, they assume they value children, but in practice, treat them like the disciples did. Worship is relational. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. The person in the video is focused on the camera in front of them, not on your kids. Worship is spiritual. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Singing songs, psalms, praise to God. A video can't sense the room or follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. A video can't take a request, stop and pray, be led by the Spirit, help kids who are distracted, explain a truth or a word. A video, we just need to be careful. I can help the kids focus on God as opposed to just entertain them. Worship sets the tone and prepares the heart to receive God's word. I'm not bashing you if you use videos, but I do want us to think more deeply about it maybe than we do. And to be intentional. If we have a video, what it is, same idea behind song choice. Is it a distraction? Is it entertainment? Are the kids engaged? Are they worshiping? Are your volunteers worshiping? Because leading worship is discipleship. teachable moments to explain a truth, connect a song to scripture, help them refocus, give them an example to follow. We have to be able to say, do as I do. Leading worship models servanthood to the kids. They can look at a worship leader and say, I want to do that someday. I want to be able to lead God's people in worship. Kids can look up to worship leaders and be raised up to do the same one day, or at least serve the body in other ways. Kids need to see servants. Videos are fun, bright. They have dynamic graphics, motion and backgrounds, animation, help hold the kids' attention. I can't do that. Attention on what? On the Lord? Or on the bubbles in the background? What is actually holding their attention? Is it distracting from the heart, from worship? Now, it can be overstimulating. Not all videos are. I'm not saying videos are all evil and horrible, but I am very screen averse here. I'm not going to lie. I want to do everything I can to foster personal interactions and relations. Now, if you have a worship video, have lyrics on there, but not fast lyrics. Here at Calvary Philly, we put up the whole verse so that you can look at it quick, close your eyes, get back to worship. I've been in some churches where literally it's a different word, and you're trying to like see the word right before you sing it, and there's a single word that changes throughout, and there's a landscape in the background that's in motion, and I'm like, I can't even, and I don't know what this song is, and I'm never going to know because my mind is just exploding right now. Things to think about. Excuses that we might make. Oh, I don't have a musician. I can't sing. Worship videos are so much better. They're more fun. They're more engaging. We have to be careful. Pray about it. Engage the whole body of Christ. Every joint and ligament supplies. Gifts are discovered and sharpened when we do things in person. If you're going to use videos, have a person lead with the video, like I said, to engage the kids in a way that we are still allowing the kids to come to Christ and not hindering them. My people, if you are a video worship church, please do not be discouraged and be like, wow, he just totally beat me up. I came here to be encouraged, and he just took a hammer and just kept hitting me with it. He was like, boom, boom, videos are from the devil, videos are evil, how dare you, you're misleading kids, you're stumbling. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I am just saying be intentional with worship. Know that worship is real discipleship, and worship is one of the things that we can tend to think little about because there are bigger things to think about, like what curriculum are my kids going to teach? And I need to study this lesson so that I know it. And so we don't give the attention that we need to for worship. But in our Christian culture and in our modern-day Christian worship scene, there are just so many different ways that we can mislead the kids through our worship. And so we want to lead by example and enter into it. When we are unwilling to lead our kids in worship, it's a hindrance to their coming to him. You guys can email me. I'll put it up online as well. I have a link to the Google Drive where I have all of the worship songs that we do for 3rd through 5th grade, the list of 60 to 70 of them. I have a list of the chord sheets and lyrics and worship songs that we do for the 4-year-olds through 2nd grade and the chord sheets that we do for the songs in the toddler room. If you want to use what we do here, the things that I've thought and prayed through, you're welcome to do it. Or please use the criteria that I laid out for choosing your own songs. And don't compromise. There are helpful things. I have put a link together. I just stood in the sanctuary for 2 hours one day and recorded me going through all the worship songs that we do here and just giving little tips and insights so that people can learn how to play them on guitar. I'll give that to you guys. And then, you know, if you want to learn more about worship, Worship Initiative is great. They have a website, a subscription that you can pay for where you can learn basic skills, learn the heart of worship, to lead worship. So I would encourage you to check them out. All right, I have 5 minutes, but I'm still going to do this with you guys because I can't help myself. It's just too fun. All right. Now, I just want to example some of the things that can happen and some of the things that should go wrong. So if I'm coming into a toddler class, you know, I usually walk right in the door and go, oh, hey, kids, what's going on? And they're like, whoa, a sound, a guitar, an instrument, what's happening? And they all come over, hey, come on over, it's time to worship who? The Lord, yeah, that's right, get over here, let's worship the Lord. And then you just go right in, and you have your pre-selected songs or whatever, and you have your volunteers there doing motions, and you notice the kids and say, wow, nice shoes, whoa, your shoes light up so cool, wow, your eyes are blue, God made your eyes blue, isn't that amazing? So cool. And you look at each one of them, it's a nice small classroom, you can compliment them, let's worship the Lord together, let's do this together, I want to hear you sing to the Lord. And I usually start, they're sitting down, B-I-B-L-E, and then bring them up and say, oh, I didn't even hear you. Bible, yeah. And does that mean we're going to stand on the Bible? No. And then you just get into it, and you've got eyes locked in, eyes engaged, and if this makes you feel awkward and uncomfortable, it's totally okay. But this is what I do with the toddlers. And, you go in, and you go, J is for Jesus, and O is for others, and Y is for you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and J. And you just go into it, and you're looking at, what am I doing? I'm engaging them. I am focused on them. I am bringing them into it. And they are just like, and what does that spell? Joy. Who gives us joy? God. That's right, kids. And then we go into the next one. My God is so big, so strong. And then you show them. You don't have to play guitar the whole time. There's nothing my God cannot do. And then you let them know. He made the seas. He made the trees. He made the elephants too. And in the one room, there's a big picture of an elephant. I say, he made the elephants too. My God is so big. And then you just go, is God small? How big is it? No, God is so big. He's bigger than you, bigger than your dad, bigger than everyone. And toddlers, they eat it up. They love it. And get them to do motions. It's all part of it. It's so much fun. Don't think toddlers are a waste of time. They're not. And so you just get into it, and you just think through these things, you know, what you're going to do with them, and it's so much fun. But choose things that are interactive. I mean, there are some songs that have come out that are just precious and good. And so, you know, you get them hyped up, you do what you want, you know, every move I make, I'm making you, and you get them going. And God forbid you want to do a little Forrest Frank. So Bayader, you know, like, I'm like that song. But there's truth in there. You're going to do it with them. And the kids are like, can we do it for your way is better? Yes, we can, because God's way is better. You're going to do that with them. But you just go through, and then you just think through, what are some songs that we might do that would calm the kids down and chill them out before our time of prayer? Here, I'm losing things. And so I always do Jesus Loves Me for the toddlers, and I let them know, you know, Jesus does love me. Jesus loves me, this I know. And you go through. For the Bible tells me so. And you just leave them in it. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Hey, show me your muscles. Wow, this is a strong group that we got. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Where do we learn about how much God loves us? In the Bible. Yeah, God wants to speak to you. The Bible is his word, and you just get them ready for it, man. And so I do it with them just like I'm doing it with you. I look at them. I get them engaged. I smile at them. And if they're distracted, I move around the room. You engage with them. And you just can't do that with a video. You can't be sensitive to their needs right there. You can't be sensitive to what's going on. You can't explain truth and stop in the middle and do something with them. And so I just encourage you guys, whatever happens, think about leading worship. Check out the video I put up on Vimeo that you can learn from. And if you have questions about it, or, you know, sometimes even a senior pastor might be like, oh, why are we giving effort to this? You know, why don't we just do some videos back with the kids and be like, because we don't want to stumble them. We don't want to think that they're less capable of entering into the joy of the Lord. We're not going to do that in the sanctuary with the adults. And so let's not do it with the kids. Kids don't need more videos. Kids don't need more screens. They need more personal interaction with somebody who loves them more than anyone else in the world. Put Jesus on display for them. Was any of that helpful?
Yeah.
All right. Can you use some of those things?
Yeah.
All right. God bless you guys. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to worship alongside of children. I pray that you would lead us and guide us so that we can lead and guide children into your presence through the songs that we choose and that we sing and the way that we sing them and the motions that we do. And I pray that you would help us to lead other volunteers too, Lord, in these things. Fill our children's ministries with your Holy Spirit and give us what we need to lead them well and not to stumble them or hinder them from coming to you. It is in your name we pray. Amen.